Hi, friends. Happy New Year. Here we are. My name is Dave. I'm on the ministry team here and happy to be sharing. It is a new year, and I hope that as this year begins, that you feel encouraged, and there is a sense of the nearness and presence of God leading you. I've always found that the beginning of the year, I'm sure perhaps we're similar, that it does allow us and afford us time to reflect on these first few days of the year, to reflect and consider. Certainly one thing that's been on my mind as this year begins is my great appreciation for our ministry team here at Living Waters Church. I truly believe that God has very uniquely blessed Living Waters with a very capable and creative ministry team. I'm so thankful for them. Happy to be a part of it. Honored to be a part of it. And furthermore, I've been reflecting on my love for Living Waters Church. I often get asked, how you doing? How's Living Waters Church? And without any lie at all, I immediately say how much I deeply respect and love the people that call Living Waters Church their home. No word of a lie, it seems week after week and month after month for so many years, I just continue to meet responsible people, people that have vibrant faith, people that are serving generously and creatively within their community. And wow, what a beautiful inspiration and example that our community is to me, to our ministry team, to the people around them. I'm just sharing from my journal today a great love and appreciation for those that, again, are around here at Living Waters Church. We have such good days ahead. I'm so, so thankful. Over the next few weeks, I'll be kind of looking back to celebrate some things that have happened in 2023, even beginning next week as we share a bit of a Helping Hands 2023 report. It's so exciting. We have so much to be thankful for. I want to ask you this today to turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. And I want to begin our year. Here we are. Happy New Year. Begin our year considering the word humility. And humility as discovered in Philippians chapter 2. Of all that we read, there's much in this chapter. Perhaps we would consider today just three characteristics of a humble person. First one, a humble person, humility, a humble person lives with a certain attitude. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Here, when discussing humility, Paul begins by contrasting humility. He mentioned two contrasts. I just read them. Selfish ambition and vain conceit. Why? Sometimes because at the center of any type of selfish ambition or vain conceit is what many would call human pride, which of course is the opposite of humility. So sometimes to understand one thing, you consider the opposite. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul is kind of doing that. He's contrasting humility with the opposite, vain, selfish ambition and vain conceit. And certainly, pride is just this, the opposite of humility. Now again, not all pride is bad. We do know that a good pride or a healthy pride is seen through an attitude and mindset of self-respect and dignity, whereas is the case in this verse, unhealthy pride can lead to a mindset of vain conceit and arrogance, selfish ambition. Paul continues in verse 3, he says, rather what? Rather than selfish ambition and vain conceit, rather, verse 3 says, rather in humility, value others above yourself. Notice Paul's approach, contrasting humility in verse 3, and then as he begins to unpack humility, he begins to most naturally begin to talk about a person's value system. For our values are what determine our activity. So here, Paul is saying, in humility, value others above yourself. See, long-term humility does require a certain kind of value system. A value system where, in verse 3, self-ambition and vain conceit have no place. A prominent Christian leader once said, "For just as pride is the root of all sin, so humility is the root, mother, nurse, foundation, and bond of all virtue." So a humble person has a certain kind of attitude, as Paul's describing, and values others above himself. Second characteristic, a humble person lives under authority, has a certain attitude, and lives under authority. God cared so much about our human journey toward humility that he was willing to send his son to demonstrate humility and to lead us along a similar path. So what did Jesus do? In Philippians chapter 2, verse 6-8, Paul reminds us that Jesus gave up his divine privileges, he veiled his glory, and he chose to occupy the position of a humble servant. It's worded this way, verses 6-8, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Understanding and appreciating Jesus living and dying on earth is key for our Christian faith and a discovery of humility. This chapter helps us see choices Jesus made, for Jesus' humility was self-renunciation. Let's unpack this. Not emptying himself of deity, it was rather a choice of self-renunciation. Nor was this an exchange of deity for humanity. For during Jesus' earthly ministry, Jesus never ceased to be God. Rather, he set aside his heavenly glory and voluntarily refrained from using his divine power to make his way easier. Rather, Jesus was certain to live and remain under authority. And so during his earthly ministry, Jesus completely submitted himself to the will of his Father and received his identity accordingly, which of course directed his actions. So here Paul is adding another word to our humility journey. Number one, placing values on those people rather than this person. And number two, the word identity surfaces. We will never walk too long with humility without an overhaul of our personal identity. For all of human history, we can see that when a person is unsure of their identity, they will eventually feel the need to create one for themselves. And by doing so, a person perhaps will be driven by ambition and vanity, trying to sort out where they belong and how they belong, their personal identity. On the weekend of December 17th, we heard Sarah Emanuel's personal story, and she talked a bit about this. You can, if you did not see it, head to our website to hear a beautiful story, a beautiful gospel story she told. She's one of our global workers in India. She struggled, she shared in her story, how she struggled trying to establish her identity And she spoke of her attempt to be one of the cool kids, and then her all exploring of being a goth girl. But it was only until she met Jesus, and she testifies to how Jesus gave her a new identity. See, a self-created identity can drive us to try to be the greatest person, a great dad, a great mom, or banker, or entrepreneur, a goth girl, as Sarah shared, or a leader, or whatever we do to feel valuable, to feel like we belong. However, there is a good chance that when we try to create our identity, we will ultimately be led along the path of pride. Instead, however, which we hear in Philippians 2, instead, though, there's another way. We can receive it from God. Instead of receiving it from God, we will wind up exhausted, pursuing something that doesn't last. And of course, this was Sarah's story for sure. But what we read in Philippians 2 is there's another way. We can receive our identity from God because of the gospel. As we come to understand who we are in Christ, we begin to live according to who Jesus says we are and who we are in association to him, not because we need to fill a void of ambition or conceit, but because of our relationship with him, which enlivens us as people. For when we embrace the humility of Christ, we will come to know exactly who we are before God, nothing more and nothing less. And that is what shapes our identity, which creates humility. See, Jesus knew he was equal with God, knew he had all the power in the world, and yet he knew he was secure in God. In fact, Jesus was so secure that he set aside the rights of his high position because he had fully embraced his identity given to him by his heavenly Father. Because humility is built on choice of values and our gift of a new identity, we should begin to think of humility as a gift we receive through confession and admission and the generosity of God. Paul Peter picked up on this in 1 Peter chapter 5. All of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. A humble person lives under the authority, so that God's good purposes and will for our lives is discovered by ourselves and by others, by way of humility, not selfish ambition or vain conceit. C.S. Lewis wrote in the book, his book, Mere Christianity, "Do not imagine that if you meet a really humble man, he will be what most people call humble nowadays. He will not be a sort of greasy, smarmy person who is always telling you that, of course, he is nobody. Probably all you will think about him is that he seemed a cheerful, intelligent chap who took a real interest in what you said to him. If you dislike him, it will be because you feel a little envious of anyone who seems to enjoy life so easily. He will not be thinking about humility. He will not be thinking about himself at all." A humble person has a certain type of attitude. A humble person lives under authority. Number three, a humble person has certain actions. Verse 4, Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, "Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others." Historians recount from a historical view how Jesus' example not only led to a new way of life, but also to a new way of thinking about humility. What are we getting at? In the first century, until that time, the Greeks accepted a form of humility that meant lowering oneself before someone who is greater than them. That caste systems and had pharaohs and all kinds of a pecking order. Some historians would say that Paul's letter to the Philippians was the first time in Greek and Jewish literature where humility was prized as lowering oneself for others of greater, equal, or lesser status. In other words, the other people or all people, worded in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, the interests of the others. Again, higher, equal, or lesser value, and however you would define that. See, Jesus coming brought an elevation of all people, and he demonstrated his love for all people. He humbled himself for all people, and Jesus calls us to the same still today. Philippians 2 says, rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. The Greek word here for servant, describing Jesus, is the word doulos, meaning someone who belongs to another, a bondservant, without any ownership rights of their own. See, a humble person has certain actions. A humble person is a bondservant to another. So how does this actually work? Well, the humble one is bonded to serving the needs of another, just like Jesus. See, humility is not passive. Humility says, because I am a servant, my identity, I act, I will serve the other. A humble person has, of course, a new value system, like we just said, values that place the needs of the other above their own, or perhaps acknowledge the need of another as it were their own. See, Jesus humbly became the gift that people needed. And so this is the calling of a follower of Jesus in 2024, to be the gift that Jesus needs us to be as a humble servant. Jesus illustrated this prior to his death, John 13. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. There's his identity. The word so, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. The word so in John chapter 13 is pivotal. The word so in this passage connects Jesus' identity with his actions. Because his identity was so stated, so it is associated to a certain type of action. Let's make sure we get this, because it's truly outstanding and runs so contrary to our human thinking. The word so in this passage connects, I'm repeating myself, but connects Jesus' identity with his actions. So the appeal to the humble is to be consistently doing the activities that tie our identity to the action of a bondservant. Admittedly, again, humility and humbling of oneself is out of fashion in today's world and seems unappealing in many ways. However, as Jonathan Edwards says, we must view humility as one of the most essential things that characterize true Christianity. See, a humble person does not wait for the other person to do the right thing, but proactively chooses the humble way to serve. And that gets played out practically in so many different relationships and situations. When it comes to asking forgiveness, serving, surrendering, listening, actually whatever love looks like in any given moment, the humble person will be the first lover. So we're called to be the gift the other needs, not the gift we want to be, or for that matter, the gift that we would prefer to be. It's the gift we need to be, because our identity is to be expressed by way of humble service. So this chapter, this message is not so much about knowing this, hearing about this, or learning about this. This is about becoming and doing. We got to get this right. Despite the initial teaching in Philippians chapter 2, the first part, Paul in verse 21 later in the chapter says, "For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ." So here Paul doing all this teaching, not for the sake of teaching, but for the sake of application, says this isn't about knowing this, this is about doing this. And that, of course, would be our greatest responsibility as well. As we begin a new year together, Living Waters Church, beginning a new year together, I have felt very impressed to talk about the word humility. And want to encourage all of us to engage this year with single-minded interest to be humble, to do the things that God blesses. There's all kinds of things that we can do, perhaps even some good things. This passage in Philippians chapter 2 calls us to the greater things, not just good things, but to the greatest things, to be doing the things that God promises to bless. And God, in this passage, through his example and through Paul's teaching, reminds us that God blesses the life of a humble one. I'm not sure of your vantage point as you begin this new year, nor am I perhaps even personally aware where you are on in your humility journey. But I suppose perhaps it's not where we've been that matters, or even where we are today, I suppose. Perhaps this message just points us in a good forward-moving direction. And it's more about where we're headed. One of my favorite quotes comes from George Eliot, which is very appropriate at the beginning of a year. "It's never too late to be what you might have been." So regardless on where your journey's been or where you're at as you begin a new year, I'm excited to invite you into a journey of humility this coming year. It carries a certain attitude. It requires a certain understanding of authority, and it does create certain actions that I believe will be helpful for you, for us, and for your relationships within this beautiful community. This passage asks us to begin a year by humbling ourselves. James chapter 4, verse 10 says, "Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up." I am so excited to consider all the lifting that Jesus is going to do within our lives this year. And it's because we've chosen to humble ourselves, carrying appropriate attitude, walking again in appropriate authority according to our identity, and expressing certain actions that humble people do. So may this year be filled with a wonderful, perhaps new, curiosity of what it means to be humble this coming year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your instruction to be a people that humble ourselves. And Lord, we do pray that we would carry well this message into this coming year. Lord, we humble ourselves. We know it's a sign of health and strength. We know that you're alive. We know that you hear the prayers and you watch over with blessing in your hand upon the humble one. Lord, I pray that you would shape our attitude. You would define the authority and confidence and courage that you want to gift us with as we put on humility. And we do pray that you would guide and direct our actions this year as we seek to be a humble people, being a blessing to you and a blessing to others. Lord, as we would imagine families and people within our community are carrying some grave concerns into this coming year. And we pray for one another today. We pray for our community. We pray for grace. We pray for mercy. We pray for courage. We pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon our community, giving us the strength and courage and an understanding of the prophetic promise that you call us into this coming year. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for, again, the book of Philippians chapter 2. There's a good example that you have modeled as you are a humble servant, and so much good has come from it and still does. We love you, Jesus. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen. Amen. Well, again, happy new year. And again, thanks for joining us today during Church Connect. May you have a good week. God bless.